Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I want to talk about the end game for you and I as born-again believers, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven for just a moment. And I'd like to refer to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want to read a few verses, and I want to whet your appetite so that we can make a very clear point today on this Watchman Radio broadcast, okay? If you are one of the billions of people on the planet that have come to a genuine knowledge of your salvation through your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, if you've been to the cross, if you have met the Master, if you have received of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the atoning blood of Christ for your sins, if you have come to a place of admission and confession for the guilt of your sins against a holy God and against His creation in any area of your life, if you have picked up the book called the Bible and begun the journey of revelation and learning and insight and knowledge and wisdom of the divinity of God and His will and His desire for your life, if you are one of them, then I want us to keep in mind as we walk through these days, as we walk through these moments, something of the end game, something that you and I should be looking forward to, even as the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before Him. He looked beyond the cross, beyond the passion, beyond the suffering, to the joy that was set before Him. And I want to make this point right up front before I go any further, that if you're one of those born-again, Spirit-filled Christians who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you're one of those people, you know, one of those people, always and forever, you are looking forward. You are looking and will never be satisfied with the things of this world. Never. If you're one of those people, one of those genuinely born again people, good days, bad days, dark days and light days, sweet days and bitter days, happy days and sad days, This is not your dwelling place. This is not your eternal reality. But I want to point you to quicken your memory, to refresh your memory of where you are going. Where you are going. So that this will be an equipping for your internal Holy Spirit and your spirit that has been knit together with the Holy Spirit to give you strength, okay? Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me that had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144,000 cubits. 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was the jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And finally, chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. He showed me a pure river of life. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Where we are going is a place where there is no evil, there is no pain, there are no more tears, nothing unclean, nothing unrighteous exists. On this earth at this time, you could go ahead and try to restore America, make it as great as you want her to be. You could look at Israel and say, oh, whoopee joy, look at all this that has come to pass. And yet, the city streets of Tel Aviv are loaded with homosexuals and lesbians, transvestites, transgenders. The city streets of America are flooded with abortion, innocent blood. The curse is on the earth still. The curse is here. And just because we have good days and bad days, and just because we have a booming economy, and just because we have the greatest military power in the world, and just because Israel has become a nation after 1,900 years and so of dispersion, and just because, ladies and gentlemen, none of this that you and I see with our eyes on this earth should satisfy our hearts. No born-again, spirit-filled Christian should be satisfied with the condition of the world in its present state. Now, are there glorious things going on? Yes. You and I have been born again. You and I have been saved by grace. You and I have had our names written in the Lamb's book of life. And we have been working out our salvation with fear and trembling and the joy of the Lord. We have been given such a great salvation that is not to be neglected. God forbid. We must make sure that the thief does not come and blot our names out of the book of life. We must make sure that we do not lose our place at the tree of life. We must make sure that we endure to the end, that we who are saved by grace through faith in this world, we need to know that we're going against the flow. And the moment you get into the flow of what's going on in this world and think, hey, this is okay, you're moving in the wrong direction. There's a wide road that leads to destruction, and many there be on it, but there is a narrow pathway that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. This earth in its present condition is being set up to be burned with fire. How do we know that? We've read our Bibles. We've read what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. We know that the heavens and the earth that are now are reserved unto fire. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I'll try to put this page together. I've read it so many times, it's a little ripped around the edges here, but let's see if I can pull this off here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." No Christian on this earth can be satisfied with the condition of this world. There are great stories that need to be told, and I'll share one of them with you right now. This is a former transgender lesbian drug dealer who has a mandate from God. And what is the mandate? Take back the rainbow. Listen to this. In the Bible, the rainbow stands as a covenant between God and mankind. But for more than 40 years, the LGBT community has used the rainbow as a symbol of its movement. Now, one former transgender is on a mission to take it back. Nicole Collins lived as a lesbian and drug dealer for 20 years, but after a brutal attack, she became a Christian and now stands up for God and her faith. She went by the name Esco in the clubs and streets of Los Angeles, where she was known for partying and violence. Here's what she said. "My breaking point was as I was living as a transgender lesbian drug dealer in Los Angeles. I was attacked by a man from behind with a hammer. And all glory to God, miraculously, I suffered no injury," she tells CBN News. "And so I tell people that God literally used that to knock some sense into me." Collins says, while surrendering her life to God, leaving her old lifestyle was not easy. Here's what she said. "It took me 7 months to come out of men's clothes," she explains. "I didn't just jump into dresses right away, and my hair was bald, and so all my hair has grown back today, but I didn't always feel so beautiful. I felt very awkward, but as I submitted myself to God, he began to beautify me with salvation." Well, after breaking free, Collins says God gave her a mandate to restore the biblical standing of the rainbow, which the gay rights movement claims as its symbol. Here's what she said. "I saw a hand coming through the clouds, clutching the rainbow, and I saw an inscription in those clouds that said, 'Take back the rainbow.' and I jumped up and began to sketch it out, she says. Well, the rainbow is mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 9 as a promise to Noah after the great flood. And God said, here's the scripture, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Well, Collins uses inspirational quotes and designs in her Christian clothing line called Globe Shakers as a reminder of God's word. The rainbow, she says, belongs to God. God made a covenant. It was a sign from God. He promised never to destroy the earth by flood, but by judgment, but by fire on the next time. So I just believe that we as Christians, we can't be afraid to wear it. God's a very colorful, creative personality that has given us the liberty to talk in the vocation wherewith he's called us. So Collins says her biblical stance has clashed with many in the gay community, especially on social media. Here's what she said. "I have a page called Overcoming Homosexuality, and I've gotten a lot of people saying I need to overcome judgment, just spewing all types of venom," she says, "putting gay porn and things like that up on my page, and so I know that they are not happy." Well, despite the backlash, Collins remains determined while spreading the message of God's love along the way. Here's what she said. "I think it's very important for the church to become educated and partner with people such as myself and those who have testimonies of deliverance to come in and show them how to express the love of God without compromise and to let people know that God loves them right where they're at. And he's able to change them from the inside out," says Collins. What a refreshing story of a young woman that was caught up in the lifestyle of lesbianism, transgenderism, and has been captured by God with a vision to take back the rainbow in its true meaning of covenant between God and his creation, not a license to live such as has been shown through the LGBTQ community. But what a great story. So again, the power of God could reach into any life and bring it up and out of the darkness. And we need to be outspoken about that. And that's a very good thing. Now, what Nicole is going to walk through, where she's been very honest, it's not easy walking away. And can you imagine the strength of the temptation to draw her back? I mean, Satan doesn't like to lose his prisoners, right? And so we undergird Nicole Collins. We undergird her ministry, and she's got a great ministry. She has a t-shirt company. You should go check it out. It's called Globe Shakers. I'm going to actually reach out and have her on one of our radio broadcasts because I like the story of sinners getting saved. I like the fact that drug dealers, drug addicts, lesbians, homosexuals, every kind of pornography, every kind of sin, prostitution, drug dealing, gang banging, man, that's where the power of God has been revealed in so many people's lives. My dear friend, Paul Petit, who led me to faith in Jesus Christ nearly 38 years ago, I remember his testimony. He says, "Man, I wasn't a gang banger, a drug dealer. I wasn't, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I was just a simple kid, but I still needed salvation." And so we praise God for the saving grace that comes by Jesus Christ. Yes, this is refreshing. This is good. But again, for Nicole Collins, for you and I, it's not the end of the matter. Folks, we are being prepared for an eternal weight of glory, a new heaven and a new earth. I need you to get this. What's going on in this world today, on this planet today, is not what we're looking for. Because not until righteousness fills every nook and cranny, not until there is no more pain, not until there is no more death, not until there are no more tears, not until there is no more evil in this world will we ever be satisfied. And God has promised a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. For the glory of God shall cover the nations of the earth like the waters cover the sea. We desire the glory of God. Can you say amen to that today? We don't want evil in this world anymore. We don't want wickedness. We don't want perversion. We don't want the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What did man choose in the book of Genesis? He chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But did you notice in Revelation 22 that there was the tree of life once again, which bare 12 manner of fruits? She yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Man has been living off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for 6,000 years. But in the last days, at the time of the destruction of Babylon, after the great tribulation, after all the things that the final generation will have to walk through, will come a kingdom and a glory and a new heaven and a new earth. And there the tree of life will be restored once again. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not our destiny. It is not God's eternal purpose. It was man's choice. And I think now that you and I, who have been once partakers of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now have tasted of the tree of life, we have tasted that the Lord is good. We have tasted the fruit of the tree of life, just a little bit, a down payment, a foretaste, and something has driven us for more. Our appetites have been satiated. We have been gloriously affected by the goodness of God, and we are saying, we don't want the tree of life and partaking of the knowledge of good and evil. No, we want to refrain and turn away and partake only of the tree of life, until the fruit of that tree has so consumed us from the inside out that the fruit of that tree is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the divine nature of God, the character of Christ will be so intrinsically established within us that there can be nothing but the glory of God. Aren't you tired of the knowledge of good and evil? Aren't you tired of the back and forth war between the flesh and the spirit? Aren't you tired of having to deal with the carnal mind and the mind of Christ? Don't you want the mind of Christ established forever and the carnal mind eradicated? Don't you want the spiritual life with the eradication of the carnal life and the fleshly life? Yes. And that is where we are going intrinsically, personally, individually, inwardly. We are going to possess the fullness to me, that's really good news. We're living in a sin-sick world today, good and evil. Folks, our hearts can no longer be make America great again. It's a worthy cause, and I get it. But for Christian men and women, our cry, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Set up your kingdom in this earth. Let righteousness prevail, and let the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, flow through every aspect of creation again. Let the river bring life everywhere it goes. It brings life. Make America great will mean what? What it was 50 years ago? 100 years ago, well, there was still corruption in it. We still had the 1929 stock, the crash, the economic crash. We had the roaring 20s. We had alcohol. We had the mob. We had slavery. I mean, what part are you making great again? When was it ever great? Let me tell you what true greatness is. Greatness is when Jesus Christ is in total control. And there's no more tears, and there's no more pain, and there's no more darkness, there's no more evil, there's no more suffering, there's no more death. It doesn't exist. That should be the cry of the bride and the Spirit. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We are not on this earth to make America great again. We are not on this earth to make the Israel and the Middle East great again. Wonderful that she has come back, but she's come back defying and again offending the mind of Almighty God. Yes, it's a sign of the times that Israel would come together again, and we were told when the fig tree would come back and blossom again, that would be the final generation. That's the sign. But the sign is not what's going on in Israel today. They're still persecuting Jesus Christ. They're still persecuting Yeshua. They're allowing homosexuals to march. They're committing abortion. They are doing everything that America is doing, and it's not right before God. And to tolerate it and get behind it is a sinful thing that proves you're really not born again. Come on. But I want to ask you, are you inwardly, intrinsically inspired? Do you hunger for holiness? Are you hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God? And where will it begin? Within yourself, within me. We desire, we hunger for holiness, which means what? I don't want anything on the inside of me that is unclean, that is unholy. I don't want anything that is contrary to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't want anything that's contrary to the DNA of Jesus Christ. I have been born again into Christ. I was born in Adam. I am born again into Christ. And as Adam affected my DNA, so Christ affects my DNA, the divine nature activated. There is a new creation species that is to be walking upon the face of the earth. Will we see the transformation? Will we experience being conformed into the image of the firstborn son? Will we be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Will we walk in the fullness of the Spirit of the living God? Will we cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Will we purge ourselves from every lesser thing than the gold and the glory of God? There's a people that are hungering for holiness. There's a people that are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God. Where? Intrinsically inside of me. The mind of Christ. The liberty of God. The true emancipation proclamation. The deliverance from the captivity of a fallen, Adamic human race that was under slavery and bondage to the devil himself. But the liberty is for every creature that would come to Jesus Christ and be born again. Either that experience is real and what the Bible says is true, or it's not. But I believe it is. And I want you to believe that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can imagine or think in your own life to set you free, to wash you, to cleanse you, and break every curse. And by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, literally through the redemptive blood, to melt every bondage, to break every chain, to dissolve, to loosen. That's what the word redemption means. It's the Greek word luo at the root of the word. We have redemption. We have luo. We have the lutron. What is it? We have the effect of the melting, the breaking, the loosening, the dissolving, the undoing and the releasing of every Adamic curse and all affiliated with it. That's redemption, folks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give no place to the devil in your life. Don't you dare let the devil inspire you or influence you or control you, but rather rise up in the Spirit of the living God and declare that you are more than a conqueror, that you are an overcomer and that your inheritance and where you're going is eternal and it's better than the best that this world could ever provide. Don't you for a second lose sight of what God is bringing you to, what God has promised you. And he is a God that cannot lie. He is not a man that he should lie. God swore by himself. He made a covenant with himself, and he's invited you and I into his covenant to bless and to prosper and to benefit, not in this world alone. I mean, to get the hundredfold blessing in this world is a small thing in comparison to the eternal reward to those who love God. Oh, my, my. Oh, my, my. This is salvation. Let me welcome my dear beloved wife, Patricia Joy, to the program. Good morning, Patricia. Are you with me?
I am with you, and hopefully I will be able to stay. And if not, I'll just close up and you'll know it. But I want to thank you for that word you're giving right now. It's a beautiful day. One more day to get it right. And in that getting it right, I am reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ overcame the flesh, the devil, and the world. And he said that we should also overcome. In fact, it was a cry in scripture by prophecy in the book of Revelation. He who overcomes, I will allow to partake of the tree of life and many more benefits for he who overcomes, and it is the call of God to do so.
Well, hallelujah to that, Patricia. I, too, am very inspired today for the walk of the overcomers. And God has called his kids to be overcomers. And we have one great overcomer example before us we always look to, and that is Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way that all of us are tempted, yet without sin. He is calling us to follow him, to let nothing of the old nature have any breathing ground, no influence, no memory, no thought, no ability to choose or make a decision. We say no to the works of the flesh. We say no, 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 but we will be led by the Spirit of God. For the children of God, they were led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God, Patricia. Okay, I think Patricia went bye-bye. She's at an appointment right now with our little dog, Maxie. Yes, we do life here on Earth as well. So when she's ready to come back in, we'll just bring her into the broadcast. Maybe she's getting some conversation. And so, again, we want to just praise God for where we are. And again, put it in perspective. Put it in perspective. You and I are on this earth at this time to be salt and light. God called us to him, and we accepted the call. He's done something. He's changed us, folks. If we really knew how much God has changed us from the inside out, it would be amazing to see. But just remember where you were before Christ. Know where you are in Christ. We are the people living at the end of 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 the ages. We have come to the conclusion of the matter. There is a finishing in the economy of God and then a new beginning. But he's going to bring everything to consummation. Everything's coming to an end. So don't get awed by what Babylon is doing. Don't get awed by the New World Order. Don't get awed by Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Do not be awed until the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Be discontent. Be wholly discontent with what the world is doing, and not until righteousness fills every corridor of this universe will we ever be satisfied or content. It must be that way, saints. You've got to have that in you. You have to have disdain for man's prowess. You have to look at what men have built and say, it's nothing in comparison to what my God has built, but everything that my God built was good, and man's sin defiled it. So don't build your towers and tell me to put awe in your towers. We can't do it. We just can't do it. It's not the right thing to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I think I found Patricia. Let me get back to her. Good morning, Patricia. Are you there again? Patricia, are you there? Okay, so we're not getting Patricia's voice. So she hung up and she called back in. If you are wanting to call into the broadcast today, we'd love to hear from you, 818-369-0326. But am I making myself clear today? Is the Word of God making it clear? You got to have a dividing line in your life. You have to split things right down the middle and say, what is excellent and what is not? Now, are there not some beautiful things in the world in which we live? Of course there are. There are beautiful places on the planet and really good people, born again, spirit-filled people that love God, have a creative ability and a gift to do things beautiful. Thank God. Thank God. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. I get it. My point is, don't ever rest on these things in this world, in the temporary realm, when you and I both know the eternal that is coming is going to be glorified beyond our comprehension or ability to understand. Number to call, 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad and we'll know that you're calling into the broadcast today. We're so glad to be broadcasting on and over Blog Talk Radio and the Omega Radio Network. I've got some calls coming in right now. Let's take this call coming in, first of all, from area code 479903. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I just want to say the anointed word of Omega Radio that's going around the world with that Holy Spirit guidance has set me free of. I'd like to share the yesterday's program. Wasn't a program, it was an anointing word of when the Pastor Vince was praying about curses and individuals. I was one of the recipients of that. I'm 87 years old, but I'd like to read before I get more, that in Deuteronomy 5, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord God, jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children through the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I have my grandfather. I was named after my grandfather. And I was just found out that he was in the Mason. And I got set free when that prayer that Pastor Vince passed on yesterday and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah for setting me free.
Well, praise God for that. In Jesus' name. So, Elder, this is amazing because 87 years old, God revealed to you that your great-grandfather, who you were named after, was a Mason. And you didn't know that all these years. God revealed it to you, so you were able to break the curse of the Masonic Lodge or the Masonic infiltration. And it has worked in you. Praise the living God.
Hallelujah. Praise. And so to be set free, I felt last night. So, it's just so set free. And I also, my children, I'll be able to remove that curse from my children too.
Glory. Glory. All right, Elder George, thank you for sharing that testimony. That was awesome. And we're going to see the work of God continue on. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Thank you, Elder George. God bless your heart, my friend. We miss you very much. Can't wait to see you. Let's take our next call. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. We have calling in 479-866.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Pastor, I'm another one of those recipients of that very thing that Elder George was talking about. My grandfather was a Mason high up. I don't know how high up he was, but I used to carry his ring and everything else that was given to me after he passed away. And it's interesting, in the house, a few things were taken out of my house, and one of them was that ring. So I haven't had it for many, many years. But we finally ended up breaking the curses that were placed upon me about that, from that Masonic lodge, from that order that came on down. But also interesting enough, talking about that woman this morning on there, I was the same kind of recipient again there. You know, I can never comprehend the Father's love that he has, because such a sinner was I, that no way that I deserved any kind of special attention or anything of that nature. And here was a situation where I was actually thrown into a deliverance ministry. And actually, before I did that, I ended up going through a deliverance. And in that deliverance, literally, I heard in my mind, it was an argument, Satan claiming me because of all the things that I had done, and God on the other side claiming me, no, he's now my son. And I listened to the two of them arguing back and forth for my soul. And it was hard to imagine that God would put that much emphasis, that much trouble, that much desire to have me with him when I was such a sinner. And that still blows me away to this very day, and I'm so thankful for what he has done. Now, I'm still working out my salvation, but this is something that all of us need to realize, that what God can do when you give him a chance.
Oh, amen, and amen to that. Amen to that, Pastor Ken. What a great testimony of what God is doing in the lives of his people, making us ready for eternity. And it's interesting that the Masonic thing is coming up today with Elder George and then yourself. You guys have been in the Masonic. You know, the Masonic lodges, believe it or not, they pass on curses to their bloodlines. And there has been some amazing study on that. And so for the Spirit of the Lord to be making people aware of this, is a glorious thing. Just, you know, I'm sure they're just dead ropes, you know, that once the Spirit of God touches them, they'll just dissolve. So thank God for the deliverance. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Now, if I don't bring Patricia back on the phone right now, I'm going to get in a little bit of trouble. Let's see if she's there. Patricia, are you still with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. What are you hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
I'm hearing about the Masonic Lodge, and I don't know if most people listening understand the depths of evil that is engulfed in that particular movement, but it is the greatest occult movement in the world, and it has touched multitudes of countries with a facade of doing good work. And that is a very serious thing in the sight of God. And so what I need to say is that I have been in the occult myself. And I know that the power of that spirit is deadly, absolutely deadly. Not only the Masonic Lodge, but any New Age movement, which is taking hold right now in the United Nations also, and which is the bedrock of the elitist. It is the bedrock of the one world government. It is the bedrock of the one world banking system. And what the Lord has done for me is he has set me free, and he's done so in his name by my faith in it when I first learned of Christ, because he came to save us. He came to set the captives free and to set us free from every bondage that the enemy, by deception, has caused upon mankind. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am that he made me aware of his saving grace and set me free from the bondage of sin and death and the satanic hold upon my life. I will never be able to thank him enough. And I praise God for deliverance.
Well, amen to that, Patricia Joy. Amen to that. I've got all kinds of news coming at me left and right now. We do thank God for all of the deliverances that he has performed in his name. And we're going to stay connected to that. I need to, as we're getting ready to wind down the broadcast right now, I've got to get this important information out to our listeners today. Number one, listen, please. It's time. You're hearing it everywhere. You're hearing this everywhere. The earth is about to shake. It's going to shake because, as we said yesterday, the earth vomits out the inhabitants thereof. With the earthquakes that are coming, the violent storms that are coming, the wars that are about to erupt, the violence that is in this earth, you're going to hear the rumbling. The earth is going to begin to spit people out of it. It's happened before. We read it yesterday. We know that the earth will not give her produce. There's coming famine to this earth. You need to know that. There's a famine. There is drought. Things are going to start drying up quicker than you've ever seen in your life because it's time. And all of this is fulfilled in the words of Jesus, who said in the last days there would be famines and droughts and pestilences and wars and rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera. He's speaking particularly to earth events. We know that the sun, moon, and stars are going to be affected. We know that a third part of the sea is going to turn blood. We know that a third part of the waters are going to be made bitter. We know that a third part of the earth and of all the green grass will be destroyed. We know that there is a ill effect that's ready to happen. But listen, when you and I get hungry enough for the king to come, and when the king recognizes in the heart of his people that they really want him more than this world, when the bride begins to draw the bridegroom, when the bride, like in the book of the Song of Solomon, when the bride is walking around and cannot rest and cannot sleep until she's one with him, when that spiritual truth begins to awaken and the people of God on this earth will turn to God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength, and love God with all of themselves, you need to know the earth is going to shake, the heavens are going to shake, and if you're listening carefully to the Spirit of the Lord today, what he is telling us is to allow within yourself a divine discontentedness. That's right. Allow divine discontent for the things of this world. Do not set, relax, rest in the luxuries of Babylon. Let your entire being move towards the King of Glory. Rest in him. Let him be your luxury. Let him be your resort. Let him be your getaway. Let him be your solace and peace. It's in Christ. You can go to the nicest places on this earth, and that corruption is all around. And if it's in yourself, it kind of messes everything up. But right now, move into Jesus. The earth is ready to shake, folks. Violent shaking. It's going to hit this earth. The sound of that trumpet is everywhere. Massive earthquakes are going to begin to shake cities to the ground. Massive storms, massive violence, massive things. And I'm, again, this is what God said would be in the last days. We have to come out of her, my people, so that we don't get caught. And our spiritual migration must be into the kingdom of heaven and into the King of glory, in whom we are, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing will touch you in Christ, but gather all of you into him. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Work as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Stop awing yourself in man's admiration. The only man or woman you should admire on this earth is the one who has been sold out for the King of glory. Admire the new nature in vessels. Admire the glory of God manifesting in his people. Admire righteousness. Admire what is right. Admire what is holy. Don't admire man's brilliance, man's wisdom. God said that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. Do not admire anything of the work of man's hands without Christ. But admire Christ in all things. Be salt, be light, and get ready, and do not be afraid. Fear not, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things, and he is going to do great things. And let the cry of our hearts be, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and do what you want to do in this earth. He loves creation. He loves every person. He loved Nicole Collins and got her out of the lifestyle that would have damned her soul forever. He loves people. Win people to Christ. Get their mind off of the things of the world. Get them out of the glory of the things of the world. Use every resource God has given you to help wake people up. Tomorrow, I will be interviewing Daniel Seckham, and Daniel will be joining me from Australia. And he's going to be coming to Northwest Arkansas August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We're going to have a major conference. And we're going to have a conference that's going to be mind-blowing for those 3 days, because that young man, the gift of God, the anointing on his life, he is coming to bring revelation. He just completed a 21-day fast. He's been doing it since I've met him. Northwest Arkansas was the very first place that Daniel step foot in America. It was right here at New Wine Ministry Church. God launched a massive line out to Australia through this radio broadcast, through Omega Radio. We discovered Daniel. He came. He spoke at conferences. Now he's all over the country. He's coming this August. He's going to be speaking at a conference here in Northwest Arkansas. Relative messages for the cultural wars, things dealing with Israel and in Islam. Make a point to come on out to Northwest Arkansas, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You won't be disappointed. You're going to meet the saints of God. But then I want you to put on your calendar October 13th to October 20th. What is it? We will be hosting the Feast of Tabernacles 2019. We have hosted this feast for 29 years. We are going to be inviting people to come. They will come from nations to be a part of the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to have whatever God desires, but I know there's going to be a prepared vessel, many of them, that are going to be imparting. The Feast of Tabernacles 2019, October 13th to the 20th. Make your plans now. Get it on your calendar. to be in Northwest Arkansas from October 13th to the 20th for the Feast of Tabernacles 2019. Patricia and I and New Wine Ministries together will be hosting once again, and we'll be inviting special guest speakers from around the world to come and be a part of what we're doing. We believe it's significant. Father's heart. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow with Daniel Seckham. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to have a very fresh message for the saints of God. Until we meet again, I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And right now at omegaradio.org, a roundtable discussion is taking place. Go there, omegaradio.org. Shalom, saints. God bless.